Please stand and sing.
Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. People to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine own sufficient us to thy glorious throne. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. We would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Dear friends, we come together in the season of Advent to prepare ourselves in heart and mind for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and as a Judge. We gather to hear in Holy Scripture and in sacred song of the salvation Jesus accomplished through his coming as a babe at Bethlehem, and to remember that he will one day come again to judge the living and the dead and set the world to rights. Therefore, let us join in prayer to our Heavenly Father that of his mercy he will forgive us our sins, whether committed or omitted, through weakness, ignorance, or willful disobedience, and being mindful of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross for our sakes, let us seek the Father's grace to amend our lives and follow the pattern of his Son's perfect life. I invite you to join with me in saying the Collect for Advent together. Let's pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Would you please be seated? Thank you all so much for being with us this evening for our Lessons and Carols service. You know, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is one of our favorite Advent hymns. It only has about 700 verses to it, and we have pared them down to the best seven, and we will be working our way through those seven verses tonight. If you want a map for the service, it's seven verses from that hymn. You'll hear them one at a time as we work our way all the way back to the beginning, to the one that everyone knows best. That's where we'll end the service in a little while. You'll know when to stand and sing. We'll give you cues. You really don't even have to follow along in your program. It'll just be O Come, Emmanuel verses, some reading from Scripture, and a little bit of explanation as we go. It's going to be a great service. Again, thank you for being here. And now, let us hear and understand the tale of the loving purposes of God, from the first days of our disobedience to the glorious redemption that came with the advent of Christ our Savior, so that we may look forward with expectation to the restoration of all things on the last day, when Jesus will come again in glory and make all things new.
Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord.
In our modern secular age, we have the unparalleled ability to learn about the universe, to have it described to us, what we could call cosmography. We also have an elegant and many elegant explanations of how the universe came to be. But what we seem to lack, what our greatest thinkers today seem unable to give us, is what we call a cosmology, the ability to know what message, if any, what logos is being spoken to us through the universe. What, if anything, is being said to us in and through this world we inhabit? Proverbs 8 calls us to attend to the fact that there is something being spoken to us in the universe. In fact, it's being sung to us, and it's a communication of truth and beauty and goodness. Thus, Proverbs 8:1 asks us rhetorically, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? In other words, can't you hear the meaningful music of the universe? Don't you hear the song that invites you into flourishing and joy and delight? And if we listen, we do hear it faintly, like the hint of an old familiar tune. We hear it through its absence in our darkest fears. We perceive its melody in our greatest hopes. And it's the song of wisdom. The song of wisdom we hear, however muffled, is the echo of the voice of God. It echoes from the very beginning, the beginning of all beginnings, before there was even a universe for us to inhabit. That's what Proverbs 8:22-26 tell us. Wisdom is, if you will, the divine song that called the world into being and declared over it, it is good. It is very good. And wisdom is the song in which we are called to and long to join, affirming the world and ourselves as God's blessed creatures. Wisdom is the harmonious communication of God to his creatures and of creatures back to God. And finding our way into this song of wisdom is the most important task of our lives. It's everything. The passage told us it's far more important than silver and gold and jewels. It exceeds any benefit you'll find in achievement or pleasure or power. As the passage said, if you learn to listen to and join in this song, you will find life itself. Absolutely everything depends on learning to hear the divine wisdom and learning to sing that song yourself. Unfortunately, we have become discordant notes in the universe. We are at odds with God's purposes, with each other, and ultimately with ourselves. That's why wisdom has to call out so strenuously. That's why we have to be reminded that she's calling. We've lost the ability to hear. We've lost the will to sing along. And the question facing all of us in our whole world is, can we find our way back into the eternal poem of wisdom that God spoke in creating the world? If so, how? Who will teach us to hear? Who will show us how to sing once again?
Oh, come, oh, come, oh, come, oh, come, oh, Lord of might, to tribes on Sinai's height, in ancient times did give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe.
Said to Moses, Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God.
Moments ago, we heard about the echoes of wisdom in the world, calling us to something more. We heard in the second verse of O Come, Emmanuel, a plea for wisdom to come into the world. O come, O wisdom from on high. And over the last 5 or 6 weeks, you may have noticed that many people from across the United States have been talking about wisdom being born into the world. Excitement over this birth has been trending across Twitter, and stories about it have been featured in major magazines. I am talking, of course, about Baby Yoda. On the TV series Mandalorian, people have fallen head over heels in love with Baby Yoda. To take one representative quote, a writer in Vanity Fair magazine recently put it this way: the inside of his sideways bunny ears is the color of a sunset on your happiest day. They're in love. And many people are wondering, what is his relation to Yoda himself, the great Jedi Master who precedes him? Might baby Yoda grow up to be a fount of wisdom like Yoda? And if so, will his wisdom be enough to help the universe? Because in reality, the wise sayings of Yoda were helpful, but not transformative. Do or do not do, there is no try, is an interesting little koan to roll about in our minds, but it is really not going to lead people into a full and flourishing existence. Of course, when we come to the book of Proverbs in Holy Scripture, we find wisdom that is more trustworthy than that of Yoda. The wisdom of the Old Testament reminds us that there's an order to the universe, a moral structure, and that when we align ourselves with the grain of the universe, our lives go better. And yet, even this wisdom is not enough. It does not give us specific enough direction. It does not show us what such a life, when fully lived out, looks like. And so God, observing a humanity banished from the garden, fumbling and stumbling in the dark, goes further than simply offering an abstract wisdom to be learned from nature and experience. He creates a small tribe of people who will show what a flourishing life looks like in practice. He creates this tribe from the descendants of one man, Abraham. He forms them in the crucible of slavery and a miraculous rescue from their oppressors in Egypt. And then in the desert at the foot of Mount Sinai, he binds them to himself by giving them a clear set of laws and practices that, if kept, will result in lives of freedom and blessing. At the center of those laws and practices were the Ten Commandments, which make explicit a wisdom that is embedded in the structures of the universe. A society that lived by these commandments would be a light to the world. It would be a society that worships God instead of worshiping things that keep us in bondage. It would be a society in which no one lies or steals or kills. And it would not even engage in those things that lead to lying and killing, like covetousness. A people that lived in such a way that followed these commands would eventually find other people streaming to their gates, wanting to be a part of them. In Exodus 24, the people stand in front of Moses and say, "Yes, we will do this. We want to be this kind of people." In verse 7, they say, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And this agreement is ratified with rituals, with animal sacrifices, and with Moses throwing the blood of those sacrifices on the people. And Moses says, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words."
You stand.
He will give to all the faith.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them.
The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den.
They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, on him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious.
On his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Jeff told us about the gift of the law on Mount Sinai and the Israelites' promise to keep it, every word of it. Not long after that promise, what do you think happened? They broke their promise. They broke their promise, their covenant with God. Immediately after committing themselves to do all of the things in the law, never to lie or steal or kill. They did all of these things and more. God was incredibly gracious to them, marvelously gracious. God was indulgent even. And by his sustaining grace, somehow they managed not only to survive, but to form a kingdom, a great kingdom, under the son of Jesse, King David. Of all the many kings of Israel, David was considered to be the greatest. He was the best that they had. A champion for the underdog, a great wise ruler, inclusive of immigrants and foreigners, a songwriter for many of the best psalms. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, David also was a covenant breaker. He was a liar, he was an adulterer, he was a murderer. He was, like all of us, a mixture of wisdom and folly, of good and evil. Like David, we were all made for something far better, but apart from God, it's something that we will never experience. God created us in his image. He commissioned us to be his ambassadors so that his image might be reproduced all over the world, so that the whole world should be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yet we turned away from God, choosing to live for ourselves, for our own glory instead. We are unwilling to let God remain the perfect standard for good and evil. We chose to take that onto ourselves, becoming a law unto ourselves, redefining right and wrong according to our own preferences, and becoming intolerably self-righteous as a result. And that's why we so casually mistreat one another and are mistreated by each other, and we feel so bad. God made us for a far better life, but we'll never experience it apart from him. God wasn't surprised by our inability to heal ourselves or to fix our broken world. He knew that if we were ever going to be redeemed, and if a loving and peaceful society was ever going to be established, then he would have to do it himself. So through the prophets of Israel, as we've been hearing, God promised that he would do just that. Even though Israel was all but destroyed by folly and sin, God promised a shoot from the stump of Jesse, King David's father. Someday this shoot would yield a perfectly godly king, bringing the peaceable kingdom that we all long for. This key of David, God promised through the prophet Isaiah, would unlock the way for us to be reconciled with God. He would be, as we heard, the bright and morning star, bringing the dawn of a new era when people living in the darkness of their own selfishness and sin would turn back to God, not by force, but by hearts washed clean of sin. God promised that all the nations would be drawn to his light, and the glory of the Lord would finally fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So many promises in the prophets, so many promises filling the Old Testament, and so many years of waiting in silence and in darkness for God to do something. And then, on the first Christmas, he did something. Because of his great love for us, he sent his only son, his eternal son, to be with us. Somehow, Jesus took on human flesh and became the child born unto us, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. He was born into our world in order to do what God alone could do for us, to rescue us from sin and selfishness, so that we might finally become the people God created us to be. I won't tell you how Jesus did this. If you want to find out how he did it, you'll have to come back on Good Friday. What's important for now isn't so much how he did it, but the fact that he did it. That's the miracle of Christmas. God kept so many promises. He kept so many promises when he sent his son into the world, entering our world just as he promised, coming to conquer death and sin just as he promised, coming to put the world back together again just as he promised. And if you will put your faith in Jesus, then he will cleanse you of sin and selfishness. He will turn your darkness into light and your mourning into dancing. And he will restore you to be the person God made you to be. This is his promise to you. And Emmanuel always keeps his promises. Would you please stand?
Gloria, 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 in excelsis Deo, Deo, Deo. Gloria, 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 in excelsis. Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria, Gloria. Deo, Deo, Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Gloria. In excelsis Deo. Shepherds by this jubilee, why your joyous strains prolong, what the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria, Gloria.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exalt, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come with the acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house.
Alarama is a young man that I had the privilege of working with. And in one of the many religious crises in my city back home in Jos, in one swell swoop, he lost his fiance, his mentor, and their families as well. Whether it's the abduction of 200 and something girls from a secondary school up north in Nigeria, or it's just waking up one day and realizing that you have this disease that you can't get rid of, I think we all know what it's like when darkness descends. But Pastor Dan tells us that Jesus came and that darkness is lifted. And so we read in Scripture so many images of fullness and completion, that the light of the glory of Christ has risen upon us. And yet we are longing for that day when all of darkness will be eradicated, that we live in that fullness of that light. We long for it with bated breath for the King to come back. But you know what? We're also living in that glory. The glory of Christ actually shines in the face of his church. I look across, it's the glory of Christ right here. Brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia or Iran or Honduras or just all around the world, you and I have the privilege of calling them brothers and sisters because the glory of Christ has descended on them as well. Alarama looks at the people who took the life of his mentor and his fiance, and he has nothing but love for them. He wants to go back and minister to them. He just wants to go up there and say, Jesus loves you. You see, through his church, Christ is bringing that light to everyone, everywhere. And so we call him the King of Nations, but we also call him the King of Peace. For there is peace that is being formed in the hearts of men, not just peace with yourself, but peace with even those who act wickedly against you, who take that which you love the most, which is what Jesus did. He made peace with his enemies, you and I. So we're longing for that fullness, but we are his church. We're living in that fullness. And as we walk the darkness of the earth, that darkness must be pushed back. It must go away. And so we wait for our King to come back, the King of Peace. We rejoice. Oh, Emmanuel, King of Peace, come back. But you know what? We're living in that right now. The church is the light of the glory of Christ.
Well, good evening. I'd like to just take a moment to pause and welcome you here to our service tonight. But more than that, to welcome you into Church of the Resurrection. I realize this is a service we have a number of visitors with us. Maybe you're just visiting from another church, or maybe you haven't been to a church before, or you haven't been to church in a long time. We want you to know you're welcome. So if you turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll see we put it in writing. You are welcome at Church of the Resurrection. We really do mean that. You know, Christmas is about having a relationship with God. Jesus gives us the opportunity, despite our sins and our failings, despite our history, where we've come from, to have a relationship with Jesus. And as Sulmani was just talking about, the church is a means to that. It's given to us as the site of having that relationship with God, of finding our way into a deeper relationship with God. And so whether you are thinking about a relationship with God through Jesus, you know you want one, or you're coming back to him, there are some ways you could find Christ in new ways through our church. The first thing here is you can worship with us. Every Sunday we have two services. They are largely the same, but we have two of them. We have one at 9:30 a.m., and it's at 914 Massachusetts Avenue. It's a church building that we rent called Capitol Hill Seventh-day Adventist. And then we meet here at 5 p.m. every Sunday evening in this space. We have some special services that are coming up for Christmas Eve. You can come and celebrate Holy Communion with us and sing and praise God and ring in the coming of his Son at 5 p.m. and or 11 p.m. There's some ways to get plugged into the community here. If you're new, you can come to a newcomer's dinner. We do these once a month. The next one will be in January, on January 26th. This is a great opportunity for you to meet some of the leaders and the pastors and other newcomers. Tell us a little bit about yourself and ask any questions you have about the church. You can RSVP there. We'd love for you to get connected to our online community, to get some information about the church, to join our listserv. You can send an email to do that. We run community groups. A lot of people in the church are in these community groups, or what we call res groups, that meet midweek through the city, often for dinner and for a time of prayer and discussion over the Bible. If you'd like more information about that, you can email us and we'll send that to you. Those groups will be starting up again in January. The other thing I want to make available to you is we have pastors here at the church, and our job, the thing we love to do the most, is to meet with people and talk about life and faith and God. And so we'd love to spend some time with you. You can make an appointment online. You can just go on to the link that's there, and you pick a time, and it goes right on our calendar, and we'd love to spend that time with you. So please avail yourself of that if you'd like to speak with us. Finally, as part of our service each week, our members and regular attenders give financial offerings as an act of worship to God and dedication to the mission of his church here. We pass plates in the service, and we'll do that tonight. Many people also give online. We want you to know, though, as we do this, if you're here and you're a visitor, please know we have no expectation that you'd participate in this way. This is just one of the acts of worship that we do as a church, but we do not expect you to participate. Do not worry about that. You are our guest. So as we prepare to receive the offering, will you join me in this collect prayer that we'll pray all together? Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you, and then use us, we pray, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, gladly raising, worship him, God Most High. Oh. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breeze a light to gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the cold, cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, sacred and sing hallelujah, hallelujah, the earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. God from God, light from light eternal. Adore him, Christ the Lord.
Please join us, remain and join us downstairs for refreshments. I am told on good authority there are 100,000 Christmas cookies downstairs that need us all to eat them. So please stay with us afterwards. And join us downstairs. Now may Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing and set you free from all sin.
Amen.
May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love.
Amen.
May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer at his second advent be rewarded with eternal life.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our remaining song.
Oh, come.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness.
Thank you.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows groan, our coins infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings known. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.